Alright, we on?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay, we're on. Okay, so. Alright, let me begin this. Alright, so thanks for tuning in. This is the pilot episode of. I have no idea what we're going to call this. Maybe the TriCast or something lame like that.
TriCast.
but, yeah, I know it's lame. But you're here with, I guess, host number one, Austin Shao, better known as Mr. Trupont on the site. And I'm here with host number two.
Yeah, that's Al Gatling, better known as the Antipode.
I heard you swirl your Corona right there. It's Cinco de Mayo, by the way, so happy Cinco de Mayo for all those who are sober.
Hey, I didn't take a drink right yet.
Now. Oh, well, I heard you swig. Have a drink.
Oh, okay, now.
All right. Salute. Salute, yes. So, for this pilot, of course, we have a structure, so it's not a little aimless wandering and babbling and drunken whatever. We're going to start off just talking about what we're playing. Sorry, one up, we're ripping off of you, but it's a great segment, so decided to rip it off of you. Then we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to, and especially great with E3 around the corner. Mm-hmm. After that, we're just going to talk about some news topics that we hunted around and found interesting. And then lastly, just what our thoughts are going to be on things to come. So let's start it off. What are you playing? I think I know the answer to this, but what are you playing?
Oh, goodness. This is going to be like the same answer, like, every time we do this.
Okay, maybe change it up, but okay, what is it?
Yeah, the main thing that I play, which is like every time I'm home, is and I feel almost ashamed to say it, but it's World of Warcraft.
Yeah
figured. So yeah, I'm playing World of Warcraft. Okay, damn it, it's on the table. And right now I'm rocking an undead priest and healing people and melting faces somewhat.
I'd like to melt some faces.
Yeah, melting faces is good. And when I'm not playing that, like when I'm probably after the podcast, I'm probably going to play some Ocarina of Time, just trying to go through all the Zeldas in anticipation of Twilight Princess and now Phantom Hourglass.
Which will come out in 2009.
Yeah, most likely. And, you know, I try and throw something here and there. DS is chock full of Brain Age and Metroid Prime Hunters. And, oh, I got my fifth Octolith. So, actually, my sixth Octolith. So, I'm almost finished with the game.
Neener, neener.
And that's pretty much it. And, wait. There's the Game Boy side. Yeah, I'm trying to play Pokemon again because I need something to do while I'm at work.
You love poking men.
I don't really like Pokemon that much anymore.
Just don't do it to me. Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I guess it's my turn. I have predominantly been playing Ocarina of Time for the same reason, in anticipation of the never-release Twilight Princess. Although the thing is, and anyone who's listening, yeah, all three of you are going to shockingly sigh and scream when I say that. I've never played Ocarina of Time before. This is my first time playing it. I just recently grew up. I beat the Forest Palace, and I am kind of at a loss, and I feel like an idiot. So, Gideon, if you're out there, yeah, I'm a scrub. Shut up.
Hey, don't worry about it, because it took me a good hour to remember what I was supposed to do after the Forest Palace.
Oh, God.
So that's where I am now. So you are catching up. That's good.
This is good. And then I also mix in a little bit of Adventure of Link, which kicks much ass. It kicks about 28 varieties of ass.
You mean Zelda 2?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Everybody hates that game, and I'm like, why? Anyway.
Well, wait till you get far enough. Being somebody who just finished that game and started Ocarina of Time right after that, ooh, Lord have mercy.
Well, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I've almost beaten it. I just have never beaten it, but I've gotten to the last palace, and I've always loved it.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. But anyway, before I get too ranty on this, DS, same thing, has been Brain Age. And I gotta say, it's fun in a different way. Like, if I had to rate it as a game, which is what we do, I'd recommend it, but it's... I don't really feel it's great as a game. What it is more like... I just have motivation to do it every day, because I kind of half-assedly think that I'm being productive.
Yeah, yeah, so, me too.
So, yeah, I mean... Get it? It's $20. Don't expect to be blown away of it as a game, but like it's a different take on things, and hopefully we'll get more people playing video games.
Yeah. And you know, I got one thing to say about that actually. I have a friend at my job, and I put him on to Brain Age kind of,
and he put his family onto Brain Age, and they all love it.
Oh, no.
It's cool. That's good. But he was telling me that a lot of members of his family were having problems with Blue, just like some other people.
Blue. You have to say it, Blue.
But you have to say it in one syllable. You have to say Blue, not Blue, like how some people do say it. And I find it really funny that that's like a major issue among a lot of people, but the simple solution is just to say it as one syllable.
Yeah.
So if anybody listening, you're having trouble with Blue, just say Blue.
Blue.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I tried it. It doesn't work. Well, no, because I'm an idiot. Anyway, moving on. GBA, I am playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advance because I lost my original SP and I had to recollect all my collection, and FFTA was the last thing that I restarted because I literally invested like about 90 hours into it. Oh, there I go. About 90 hours into it, and then I lost it, so I was like, alright, what the hell.
Yeah.
PSP, I just reviewed Mega Man Powered Up. That crap is insane. And when I say that, I mean it will give you cavities, because it is so sweet. It is so deliciously sweet and sugary, and I don't necessarily mean that in a good way. It's made as if you are five and you want to play it, and yet it is so hard that only a 30-year-old trained veteran can beat that thing. But you look at that game and you're like, I don't want to play this crap. It's all pink everywhere. It looks like a candy cane. But trust me, if you have any taste in games whatsoever, if you've grown up in the 80s, you will like this game. Just ignore the fact that Mega Man's head is bigger than everything on the screen. Good game, though. Recommend it, regardless of the fact that it's candy-coated. And if you don't have a PSP, then I wouldn't say you should get one for it, but, you know, obviously, if you have one, then go for it. What else am I playing? Xbox, I just started picking up NBA 2K6 again because it's the playoffs, and I got a little bit happy about the playoffs, so I started playing basketball again. And on PS2, you gave this game to me, Al. Thank you very much. I am playing Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, yes, I did. You're welcome.
You did. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas back to you. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. And I'm playing it, and I kind of find it impossible to be, like, in between, but I feel that's where I am with it right now. Like, there's so many pluses dragged down by minuses and vice versa. It looks so pretty, and yet when it's in motion, it's like a slideshow. This is done by the same team that did Ico, right? Or Ico, or however the hell you pronounce it. And their whole philosophy behind game design is being minimalist, taking away the things that you don't need instead of thinking about what you can add. And it works almost brilliantly here to some respects. You know, all you're doing, it's kind of like Alien Soldier for Genesis. All you're doing is chasing after these big things and bringing them down, and that's the goal. But at the same time, like, you know, you have to kind of find them first. You're not just presented with them. So you think, oh, okay, there's going to be some little platforming. But it's boring. You just follow this stream of light, and you just kind of jump around things, and it doesn't really challenge you in any way. I mean, it's more like there for show. It's there to show the pretty environments. And I gotta say, no matter what happens in terms of the gameplay aspect, though, this is one game that I would say, if anyone is questioning if video games are art, if you're listening, Roger Ebert, you're a jerk. This is one of the cases for saying that it most definitely is art. I mean, one look at this and one listen of this game, it's fantastic presentation. Frame rate aside, you know.
Yeah.
But, so I think that about... Oh, one more thing on the PC. I haven't played it in a while, but I was playing Oblivion. So, yeah, I got my schedule full. So it'll be about a year before I finish any of these games that I just spoke about right now, because I'm playing them all at once. And I have a job, so I'm an idiot. But that's what I am playing. So, like... Wow, we finished our first segment. Let's have a beer. Well, you can have a beer because
all right, Corona. But, Buenas Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, now it's the 6th because it's 3 a.m. Anyway,
next, Buenas Seis de Mayo. All
right, next on the horizon. What are you looking forward to playing mostly? I mean, you can talk about other things, but mostly, what are you looking forward to playing in terms of, you know, anything that you have or anything coming out soon that you're planning on buying or whatnot.
Let's see, I'm looking forward to playing some more WoW. hopefully actually getting into that raiding content. being that I, you know, am now available during the weekend somewhat.
Yeah.
You know, I got a little taste of what raiding is, and although I didn't really like it that much, because I was playing a character that was kind of being passed over for a lot of the good loot that was going on, the experience of actually fighting and destroying these massively tough and almost impossible, if you didn't plan it correctly, bosses, it was very fulfilling. I felt very satisfied, you know, running through Zul'Garub for those who are...
Okay, I won't go there. Oh, just a tidbit, which I probably will regret telling you, but I don't know if how closely you've been following the news, but they're going to announce a whole... Nice. They're going to announce a whole... that was a tribute to CheapED. they're going to announce a whole crap load of new World of Warcraft content apparently at E3, so that's what I heard.
Oh yeah, so, including the now announced only on IGN mage talents, which give them two skills that make them ultra pwnage. So now every mage is gonna pretty much be like running around hitting people with crazy stuff, and they're gonna be the flavor of the month next month. I'm telling you.
WTFPWNBBQ.
That's right. Oh my god, what the fuck? Pwn barbecue sauce.
Jesus. This is part of the reason why I regret not playing this type of game for all the fun acronyms, but I still won't. So, anyway. Anything else?
Let's see. I'm looking forward to breaking out some more of these games. I think I might want to pull out Beyond Good and Evil again.
Uh-huh.
Just because I looked at it today and was like, damn, I remember I got, like, in the middle of this game. And it affected
you with its sweet, sweet sauce.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was playing a little Space Channel 5 the other day, and
holy shit, I wanna, that's back in the day.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I got the special edition for PS2, so I was. I would like to go through that. And, I swore to myself that I wasn't gonna buy another DS game until I finished Metroid Prime, and then I was in the store yesterday, and I couldn't really buy anything, but I wanted to get Lost Magic, and
yeah.
I wanted to get Tetris, you know, a couple of those games. It's just like,
you know,
I
what?
Need something new.
Don't get me wrong, but you can have my Tetris. It's not bad. It is not. It's great, but it's like, okay, it's Tetris, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it's a necessity for one of us two to have it, at
right.
the very least. So whatever. But go on. Sorry.
Other than that, I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to come out of E3. I'm really looking forward to the Revelwii.
We'll have some more on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the 360 and the PS3, I'm just not really feeling at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to end it there.
Okay. As for me, let's see, out of the stuff that I already have sitting, wow, I have so many Cube games and Xbox games, and oh, first, I need to open Metroid Prime 2.
Oh my goodness, I need to do that too.
Second, I need to learn how to play Guilty Gear X2 #, reload for Xbox.
If you start playing that, then maybe I'll start playing
then you
my
will,
Guilty
then
Gear
you will
X2.
WTFPWNBBQ sauce me.
I'm not that good.
Then I have
if
to.
If I brought Jerry over, then you'd be like throwing controllers all over the place because his soul bad guy's on the money.
Yeah. I know this isn't on the horizon at all, but at some point when I get a 360, I really want to see one what Gears of War is like, and two what Too Human is like. I mean, I've been kind of pissed off at Dennis Dyack for just kind of leaving Nintendo saying, oh, everything has to have a story, which I totally disagree with, but Too Human looks too good, so...
Is Too Human 2 released yet?
Shut up. No, it's not. It's... when is it coming out? Let me be the good journalist and actually look it up, unlike many of these things that I've actually listened to, which don't look up things. But let's see. I am on GameSpot, and Too Human, according to them... is Q4 2006. So by the time it comes out, I will probably have an Xbox 360 if the price drops.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I'll still have one if it doesn't. Who knows? Because I buy things out of just out of instinct because I'm an idiot like that. And then there's Lost in Blue on the DS, which I bought from Konami.com because I was afraid it was going to become rare, which it probably won't be. And I haven't opened that yet because I was playing Trauma Center, which is really fun, by the way. But I want to try Lost in Blue. Heard mixed things about it. And what else? I guess that's really it because I got my hands full right now. Not really worried about the future at this moment.
Yeah, it's not going on.
Yeah, so let's move on to the news. I'm going to start off the headline from this one headline from Kotaku Gaming Blog. Kotaku.com says, PS3 and 360 screens, quote unquote, impossible to tell apart. In a pre-E3 interview with IGN, Swedish developer Starbreeze Studios, which made Chronicles of Riddick, which was a pretty good game from when I played, talk next-gen and offer their insights on the next-gen console catfight. So is there really a big difference between the Xbox 360 and the PS3? One star Reese Fulkin had this to say. The PS3 will have a content size advantage with the Blu-ray and a CPU advantage for titles that are able to utilize a lot of the SPUs. The Xbox 360 has a slight GPU advantage. That's graphics processing unit, sorry. And its general-purpose triple-core CPU is relatively easy to utilize compared to the SPUs, which are in the cell processor on PS3. I expect that it will be near impossible to tell Xbox 360 and PS3 screenshots apart. And it ends with, way to serve up a PS3 fanboy kick in the pants. Commence flame war. And what do you know? The first comment is, so I'll be able to play Metal Gear, Devil May Cry, and Final Fantasy with visuals that are as good as what is on the 360. Looks good to me. At least it won't look like last-gen ass. In parentheses, he says we. Oh, so, boy. Risky plus safety. If that really is your name, just a word from us. You're an ass. Anyway, moving on. So what do you think about that? I mean, Sony is sitting there going, you know, we're going to have 1080p. You'll be able to stream it to 90,000 monitors. We're going to have great graphics. And, you know, this developer comes in and says, well, you know, from what we see, not really. They'll be fine. They'll be comparable.
Well, the only thing that I can really say is just based on the information, it just doesn't match up. I mean, he's telling us that the PlayStation is going to have a content size advantage, and it has absolutely nothing to do with graphics. And then, but he does say that the Xbox 360 has a slight GPU advantage, which means that it would be near impossible to tell screenshots apart. I mean, odds are, with the way technology is going and the way that, you know, the development is going, if you're going to perform, like, ports, I'm pretty sure that you're going to now go Xbox 360 to PS3. Mm-hmm. The graphics probably will get a slight facelift, but you probably won't be able to tell the difference. Just offhand, if you put two screens of the same shot together in a magazine.
Right.
But if you see a move, I would bet that there would be a big difference. Just according to the PS3, I mean, the specs aren't even really finalized, so I would insist that we wait.
Right.
We wait till we get some final information on PS3, and then we can say, you know, PS3 screenshots are probably going to be a lot better.
I don't know, from this, just from random reading, again, folks, I mean, I'm just reading this off a blog, again, we don't have 100% finalized PS3 specs, but you know, when he says content size advantage, I do think that has some kind of bearing in the sense that at some point you're going to reach a point where the texture sizes for really high resolution textures, at the very least, get big enough such that, you know, they can really push this advantage of, oh, we got Blu-ray, we got 25 gigs or however many gigs, I think it's 50 gigs for a double layer, we got 50 gigs to play with here. Xbox 360, you got a 9-gig DVD. You know, and they're laughing there. Right now, it's not an issue. I mean, we've got really high-res textures in games like Oblivion that fit on a single DVD. It's not an issue. But I do think that over time, like, the content size advantage will have an effect. The SPUs will have an effect in terms of, you know, taking care of the AI and taking care of the sound and all that other stuff. So frame rate could probably be a lot smoother on the PS3, at the very least. But again, yeah. I'm talking out of my ass. I've never developed a thing in my life. I'm going on conjecture. So,
just I I'm gonna just go on conjecture right here.
Yeah.
Based on history,
uh-huh.
There's only really gonna be a select few titles that are gonna take advantage of the SPUs. There's gonna be a select few titles that take advantage of all the size on a Blu-ray. You know, it's gonna be stuff like Tekken. That's probably gonna be very graphically intensive because they got the guys who are gonna be able to work on SPUs.
just like they worked on the vector units. And then you're going to have games like Final Fantasy that are going to have a lot of content size because they just have all these people who just shove all these textures and all this content onto the disc and fill it up. But most of the stuff that's going to come out is probably going to be very mediocre, very middle ground, very DVD-ish, want to be friendly to everybody. So it's going to be common size between the 360 and the PS3 and probably the Wii. And if, you know, Wii is going to have... If the Wii's file size is, you know, the capacity is going to be around 9 gigs, then they're probably going to do lowest common denominator kind of thing. Yeah. And you're only going to see stuff that's PS3 exclusive have the ultra high res. Like, Gran Turismo 20,000 is going to be 20,000 times better than Gran Turismo 4. And then you'll have, like, Dead or Alive Extreme sit on the beach and watch titties move around and stuff. And that's going to be on the 360 and have, like, bulbous chest parts and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, things that are going to be, like, ports and they're going to be, like, everywhere, I think they're going to be very middle ground and you're not going to tell the difference.
Right, right. I guess. All right, we've beaten that one down. Let's move on to this next one. I don't know why I chose it. It just was kind of interesting to me, at least. The headline reads, and I don't know if you folks remember this thing at all, but... The headline is Gizmondo Halo Project Use Cam Mouse Look. Now, before I read the article, the Gizmondo, which was a failed, unfortunately, mobile device that was supposed to compete with the PSP and DS in terms of feature set, it had GPS, all this crap, a built-in camera. That built-in camera on the back was used for one of their games for like GPS positioning or something weird like that. Where you could actually tell where you were in a map based on a real city map, based on what was downloaded from a satellite, beamed into your GPS, and it used the camera built in, which I thought was a very cool feature, but unfortunately the thing looks ugly, looks unwieldy, and it failed. So, but anyway, just a little background on the camera. So here's the article from joystickwithaq.com, posted by Christopher Grant. Back before Fast Stefan Eriksson was crashing cars and lying to the police, he ran a little portable gaming company called Gizmondo. Their scam? Defraud investors by promising them a way into the very attractive and lucrative gaming market. One of the most effective tools was to promise a Gizmondo-exclusive portable Halo title. Gizmondo did have an arrangement with Microsoft Game Studios to produce some titles, but Halo was definitely not part of that arrangement. A former Gizmondo employee told GameSet Watch that the title only had a storyline and basic game structure, and that it was all done with a wink and nudge to extract more cash out of investors. That's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
But here's the kicker. It wasn't all bad, though. The engineers at Gizmondo managed to get code running using one of id's open source game engines, enabling the Gizmondo's rear-mounted camera to control the mouse look, allowing for a uniquely precise handheld FPS control scheme. So I don't know if there's anything to talk about here. I just found that kind of interesting how... just thinking what could have happened. You know, everyone talks about the DS touchscreen. Oh, you know, perfect for FPS. I mean, you and I have played Prime Hunters. We know it's great. Well, what about this, you know, this camera that can sense, you know, the mouse look? That would be even more... That sounds to me something like what the Revolution Remote is gonna be like. And I can imagine that if you programmed it right, this Gizmondo title, if it ever came to pass, would have actually done something.
So basically, I'm just trying to get a grasp of this. Because I'm just kind of looking at the notes here.
Yeah.
The camera would be a mouse look as moving the camera would move your view.
Yeah, it's basically like, I mean the camera would, I'm assuming the camera would get a sense of the environment around it, and then like if you kind of tilted your Gizmondo up, the mouse look would go up. And I can imagine that they'd have to work with it a lot so that you wouldn't have to tilt it all these different ways that would make the viewing angle kind of difficult. But, I mean, it sounds intriguing to me. The only problem and the only difference between this and the Revolution Remote is that the actual field of view is on the item that you're moving, which makes it kind of hard to keep track of. But
right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
I guess nothing.
That's all I can really say.
Yeah.
Weird. I couldn't see it really working very well,
yeah.
Nor... do I see the console as a whole working at all?
Well, it already broke, so...
Yes, of course.
Sorry, Gizmondo guys. You had a good thing going there, but eh. Yeah,
yeah, but you guys just blew up your investors. Oh. Hey, good going.
All right, done with that piece of... Yeah. And speaking of Microsoft, It was just confirmed, and I'm reading this from GameSpot, that Microsoft is getting Massive Incorporated, which is an in-game advertising company.
Boo.
You know, boo. So let's take a snippet from here. Massive makes its money by placing ads into games that have already shipped, typically slapping the ads onto in-game objects like vending machines, billboards, and TV screens. The ads are dynamically served, which means they can be changed on the fly. So a billboard advertising a fast food restaurant this week could be updated to plug a movie next week. Great. That's just great.
Ooh. Pizza Hut.
It's what?
No, I just said Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut? Oh, what was it? EverQuest / pizza? No.
Well, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Nintendo. yeah, that's right.
Pizza
Hut. This is... What kind of disturbs me is just, like, the fact that... I mean, I don't know if you saw Fight Night Round 3 on Xbox 360. But
I haven't seen it recently.
You haven't seen it? Because the person who escorts your fighter into the ring is the king from Burger King ads.
Oh, that's really a screenshot then, what I saw
yes,
on the internet?
Yes, it is the king. He is escorting the
player. Oh, my good God.
And it's kind of ridiculous. And what's the price? $60. You know, now I understand that game development costs are incredibly huge, and we'll actually get to that in the moment regarding the Revolution, that development costs are getting huge. I can't imagine that Burger King is paying EA peanuts. I'm sure that's a pretty big advertising deal, and to get the advertising there and to still charge consumers $60 for a game, I just can't get used to the $60 standard.
I can't either.
And especially now that they're getting advertisements in games, it's kind of like, okay, so cut us a break. Throw us a bone here. If you're going to put ads in the games, can we get a little, you know, what's up with that? Are you drinking?
No, I was yawning. It's kind of late, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just terrible. Just the whole $59.99 price tag. It reminds me of Super Nintendo.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It reminds me of Chrono Trigger.
I paid $80 for Chrono Trigger.
You know, $80 freaking game.
I paid $80. I don't regret paying $80 for it because it was a damn
was retail,
fine game.
Right?
But, it's still not reasonable.
No, not at all. I mean, I understand that it was $80 because of the silicon, but still.
Yeah, and
I just can't fathom having a game come out on a DVD. And I understand that it costs money to pay for the people to put those graphics on there, but $59.99. Come on.
So what about this advertising, though? Do you think that it might lead a trend that they end up starting to have the prices fall, or do you think they're just getting greedy in it? Because to me, it seems like I'm hoping, you know, maybe I'm naive, but I'm just hoping that maybe Microsoft's games will start to fall a little bit. I mean, they're already, first party games are already $50, but I mean, I don't know, maybe this won't affect anything at all. Maybe this is just a headline, and maybe there was no reason for me to put it on there, and maybe I should still be skeptical, but I don't know, I'm hoping.
Well, the only thing I can think of here, just due to Massive's MO, this is probably going to only affect games that will have dynamic content, which means that games that will be accessed online.
Oh, good point.
That will have things that can be dynamically changed via Massive service would be affected, and then in which case, $59.99 is still going to be the price tag, and I don't even think that it would reduce the cost of Xbox Live. I think that it's just going to wind up kind of feeding more money into the company that, of course, that's hosting, which would be Microsoft in this case. And, I mean, hopefully the ad companies and the companies that are being represented by the ad agencies are actually going to make some money out of this.
Right.
But I really have no idea about that.
This is a good segue into this next kind of funny headline. This is from Kotaku as well. PSP porn gets in-game advertising. I'm not sure what to say to that, but I don't know. I just saw this. Okay, so here's what it says. Naughty sister site Fleshbot points to a new hentai PSP game that allows adult companies to advertise within the title storylines. Okay, so I guess it isn't as bad as I thought. I thought they were doing it for all Japanese games, but it's only for, like, porn games and stuff. But, I have nothing to say other than it's good for a laugh. I don't know what you think about this.
I can't really think about this. This porn games. It's just that's a it's a very Japanese thing, and more power to them.
I guess this was good for only for a segue point as we get to our next news topic, which really irks me. This is from GameSpot. The I don't even know what this guy is. Leland Yee, who is
he's what, a lawyer.
He's a California assemblyman. Okay, California assemblyman Leland Yee, who I remember was pissing me off 2 years ago too. Chastises the ESRB over the Oblivion re-rating. Now, for those who don't know, and I'm surprised that you don't, and we have this news up on the site as well, Oblivion got, it got a mod from users that took away the whole, like, protective bra code that kept female characters clothed. And here's what it is from GameSpot. The reason for the rating change stems from more detailed depictions of blood and gore, okay, than were considered in the original rating, as well as the presence of a locked-out art file or skin that, if accessed through a third-party modification to the PC version, allows the user to play with topless versions of the female characters. So it looks like it's actually not just a mod, but it's a skin that was on the disc, and someone hacked into it and found it, which sounds eerily like hot coffee.
Mm-hmm. Or, as they say in the article, scalding skooma.
Scalding skooma? Oh my god.
I remember that's skooma horrible. From Morrowind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Makes you crazy.
Yeah. But, so what this assemblyman is doing is blaming the ESRB on this. Now, I know you did testing for a gaming company yourself. How does the rating come about? How do game companies ship games to the ESRB for rating? How does it work? Because I know movies, you sit there and you watch the whole movie. You can't play a whole game, so how does that work?
Well, basically, let's see. I don't know if I even have much experience with ESRB ratings, but what we may do is we probably submit a playthrough tape, and I know we submit playthrough tapes for, like, Sony when we were doing games for Sony, and what the playthrough tape would do is basically show you all of the major parts of the game.
Right.
And after you get to the major parts of the game, you basically show the best parts and, I guess, maybe some of the worst parts inadvertently. But you give the people who are watching the playthrough tape a general idea of what the game has to offer. And I know that the ESRB, they look at that stuff. And something like a playthrough tape would give them a general idea of what is offering in this game, like blood and gore, violence, uh-huh. and right. Nudity, possibly, language, adult themes, all that stuff.
So basically it's on the developer or publisher to make sure that they have included the worst offenders on the tape, right? It's their obligation to say, hey, here's our game, this is what the worst you'll see on it.
It would definitely be in their best interest to get the best and most fair rating to show everything that the game has to offer. Right. You know, if the game has, you know, people shooting people's heads off, show it.
Right. So it sounds to me more like, okay, first of all, politicians really don't know anything. I'm sorry if you're a politician, anyone out there, but you guys don't know anything. That they're targeting the wrong people. It's not the ESRB who has been trying to do as good a job as they can. It's Take-Two, again. That because they did it with Grand Theft Auto. Well, not really, because, I mean, they didn't know... They left the skin in there, obviously. But, I mean, it's not necessarily that they purposely left it off the tape, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, it's them. It's Take-Two again. And I hate to, you know, I hate to encourage targeting anybody, but if anyone's going to be blamed, it shouldn't be the ESRB. That's just my take on it.
I would definitely agree. I think that the ESRB is just doing their job by looking at the game. They can't exactly do too much in terms of the game itself, unless they actually do play the game. But what control do they have over content that's locked away in the disc and that right. someone who actually explores the disc finds? It's not their job to explore the disc.
Right. I don't know. This type of stuff just pisses me off in two levels. One, that politicians don't know anything and continue to not know anything. And then two, I still believe that, you know, the developers, you know, you can't really control what they do, but, you know, have some common sense. Don't leave something in there that you know that should be taken out. I mean, I know sometimes people leave things in there as Easter eggs and as gags, but you realize how detrimental this is for the industry when ignorant people like politicians decide to blame it on these games, and in a sense that they'd be right, because, you know, you're leaving things like hot coffee in there. It, take some responsibility. Take that shit out of there. It has no place in there. And it just further gives know-nothings the ammunition to blame games, and then it also gives irresponsible parents the ammunition to blame something that you know, that it really is their fault. Parents, if you're out there, if your kid is running wild and you haven't been supervising them and you want to blame the game, it's your fault. Own up to it. Don't buy your kid Grand Theft Auto with the big M sticker. Now it's an AO sticker on it. Claim ignorance and then say, oh, it's Take-Two's fault. Just don't do it. You know, when I have a kid, they're not seeing scene one of anything rated above a T until they're 13. They're not seeing scene one of anything rated M until they're 18 or 17 or whatever. I don't care how snobby that sounds. That's how I'm handling it, and that's how you parents should be handling it too. All right, enough of me ranting. Let's quickly move on to the next topic before I blow a gasket here, unless you have something to say.
No, actually, I'm just kind of looking at Bethesda just standing up and saying that it's in there, and they're not fighting the ESRB change.
Because they're showing titties. Sorry.
Because somebody found some titties in the files, and they said, hey, let's go show some titties in the game. And I'm like, damn. All right.
So this next topic is, okay, listen closely, a big fat rumor. It is not fact. I'm only reporting this because it's interesting. It is not a fact. Now that that's out of the way. From Nintendojo.com, the rumor is that they have Revolution stockpiled for a surprise release. And I know, Al, you're reading the headline right now, and that's not exactly what it says, but I'll get to why I said Revolution later. Revolution stockpiled for a surprise release.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they source an anonymous poster over at the IGN message boards. And here's what they say. The poster says that the Nintendo rep, who was visiting the Best Buy store that employs the poster, responded to a question about the hardware's development by saying, yeah, they've been incomplete for a while. They're stockpiling them in the warehouse. The poster then asked for clarification and was told that units set for retail are already being boxed and stored. The representative went on to say that Nintendo is waiting until Sony announces the PS3 release date before letting everyone know when the Wii will hit shelves. Oh, I messed up. When the Revolution will hit shelves.
Ha ha.
Shut up. So yeah, how much faith do you place in rumors like these? I mean, a lot of people like to say, oh, you know, I heard from this warehouse, this developer or this company higher up that something's happened. How much faith do you place in this? And how likely do you think this is?
You know, there's this quote that they have in Warcraft on the forums.
Yeah.
No screenshot or it didn't happen. Well, screenshot or it didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm just going to cry bollocks for this one.
Bloody bollocks.
Bloody bollocks. Because, I mean, for a company that, at least according to our information from good old Reggie Fils-Aime,
Fils-Aime. It's a French name.
Fils-Aime. Oh, Fils-Aime?
Fils-Aime.
I don't know. It just doesn't. It's
Fils-Aime. Well, that's what he said, so I'm listening to
okay.
him.
Okay. Because in French, sorry, in French, that would be M. So I wouldn't see how it would be M.A. unless it's. Well, quasi French.
Well, he said
anyway.
He said it was Fils-Aime, but go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna say.
And he's big, and I'm scared of him.
So, yeah, Mr. Fils-Aime says that, you know, there isn't gonna be any information about the Wii, the Rev, the Revo Wii, the Wiivolution.
Oh God.
until they say it. And I honestly am going to just wait until the big man says when it's coming out.
Right.
What it's going to look like. Wait for that person to come up there and play that lucky bastard from the AOL contest. And then
welcome.
We'll move on from there.
I look at this and, like, I immediately dismiss it. No offense, Jawa Breaker, who was a poster. No offense to him. This is not intended as a disparaging remark. I just, you know, again, I will also cry bollocks because you can't believe every person who works at a Best Buy. but as to the likelihood of this happening, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is possible. Revolution Report, now known as TheWire.com with two eyes, said that NEC was already producing chips for them, and I'm sure that this news came out quite a bit after they had started producing the chips. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to bet that they have this stuff there. I mean, they want to be ready for a worldwide launch. And
right, but they're not even done with the controller.
Seth, we don't know.
Well, we don't
we,
know.
We don't know the full sequence of the controller. But
to Reggie, they're not really done with the controller.
Oh, I just remember hearing saying that we just haven't announced things. But, you know, to me, yeah. They have... First, to me, they've got to be done. They've got to be, at least from a strategy standpoint, they've got to be done and ready to move units.
Wait, actually, you know, that's not even according to Reggie. That's according to that EA Canada dude.
What did he say?
When he was talking about
Madden,
and they were talking about how the controller was going to work, and he was saying that, you know, the analog, the buttons on the analog aren't even really mapped yet. They're still working on it.
But are you sure that means that the controller is not finished, or does that mean that they haven't decided on what buttons do what?
I would say that the controller is not finished, because if the controller was finished, then they would know how, where to put the functions for the buttons. But the way it kind of read was the buttons aren't really finalized yet.
Huh.
But it could just be me.
I'm gonna have to disagree, only because it's like they were talking about. How, and just by the way, this is an IGN source from IGN Revolution, but they were talking about how they were experimenting with different ways to use the movement, because you got to realize this is a totally different way of programming games and playing games. So to me, when they say we haven't mapped the buttons yet, it's like, okay, what functions do we keep to the motion sensitivity? What buttons do we keep to the actual controller? So to me, that says, you know, and the reason why I'm saying this is because if they don't have this thing ready, you know, first of all, I mean, I know that things can change from E3, but they've got to have a good semblance of what they're going to have at E3.
Yeah, I mean, and the DS came out one way at E3, and it came out a totally different way.
But the buttons were still the same. And it was,
And the functionality was still the same. Just, you know, the hardware itself, and a couple of things here and there are different.
And the other thing is that if they're gearing up for a worldwide launch, like, you saw what happened to the 360. I mean, in Japan... Yeah, they're stocked there because no one's buying the damn thing. But in the States, everyone wanted one, and it ran out, and that whole debacle happened between November and February. Everyone asked them, where are my 360s? Where are my 360s? And they were getting stocked. So I'm pretty sure. And Nintendo themselves shot themselves in the foot with a little lack of supply for the DS Lite over in Japan, and that was hard to get. So they know that. I'm pretty sure. I mean, aside from, and we'll get to this later, naming their console what they did, they're not that stupid. They know that there are going to be problems if they try to keep a worldwide launch and they don't have the supply yet. So, I don't know. Maybe I put too much faith in companies, so I don't know. But
well, they've got plenty of months to do it.
Yeah. But one thing they do have, well, at least they seem to have down, and this is our next topic, is, you know, the whole idea of that development cost thing that we were talking about earlier. This next headline comes from GameSpot. Development cost to be a fraction of the PS3 and the 360s.
That's a no-brainer.
Which sounds good. This is a quote from Brian Farrell, the THQ president and CEO. Quote, "We showed in a press event recently a SpongeBob game using the Nintendo Wii and the Wii controller." I've got to say it because it's part of the quote. "And standing there watching very jaded game journalists hoot and holler on a SpongeBob game was actually quite relieving. One of the things we like about that platform is the development costs. They're nowhere near what they are in the PS3 and Xbox 360. That's something that's quite encouraging. As you probably know, our portfolio maps very, very well to what we think the demographic is going to be. We had a lot of tools and tech that work in that environment, meaning the Revolution environment, because as people might or might not know, it's very similar to GameCube architecture. So those costs, and again, I hate these broad generalizations, but they could be as little as a third of the next-gen titles, the high-end next-gen titles. Maybe the range is a quarter to a half. So, do you think that this will hold up? Do you think that we can really hope to see lower development costs because of this technically inferior hardware, and Nintendo fanboys don't scream, but it is, from the numbers at the very least, inferior?
Depends. I haven't seen any pictures on this you know, SpongeBob game. For all we know, SpongeBob game could look like Chew, because it's, you know, animated and it's a little SpongeBob dude and run around and you probably like pointing at him.
But in terms of what I'm saying is in terms of the actual costs, like, can we hope to see this be the norm on the Revolution, and, you know, hopefully that encourages their whole ideal about getting the cost down, or is it just kind of smoke and mirrors, and eventually, like, they're also going to have to give up the ghost, like, costs are going to eventually rise as well to meet the status quo?
I'm going to go for the former, because of the fact that GameCube had the lowest development cost as well, because it was easy to program for.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have to worry about all the stuff that you had to worry about for the PS2, like, vector units and that what's the name of the graphics
emotion chip?
GS
synthesizer.
Synthesizer, right.
Graphics synthesizer.
And, you know, the Xbox, I'm pretty sure it was relatively easy to program for, just because it is you know, kind of Intel PC based. But still, in terms of
anybody, just, before you start saying this guy's full of shit, he does know computer science, so please give him a break. Go ahead.
I would definitely insist that, just in terms of my own personal development experience, well, on the QA side, the Cube is a lot easier to develop for, in terms of either taking core code from, say, PS2 or Xbox and going into going into the Cube, or just making a straight Cube game. It just comes out a lot quicker, and it can follow suit with the Wii, because of the fact that the structure is similar to the Cube's, and the hardware isn't as complex, but it probably can produce the same or similar results as, say, a mid-rate Xbox PS3 game. That kind of thing.
Right.
But I'm definitely going to say that development costs for the Wii are going to be a lot less than any 360 or PS3 game of similar effort, where you want to make something that's going to be high graphic quality and high gameplay, high AI type of thing. You know, Madden, for example.
Right.
The only thing that I would think that would be different, and that's going to set it aside from the PS3... is the control.
Right.
And I think that the graphics may be just as good. And I think that the graphics and the AI together are going to make that a very solid game, and it's going to make it extremely unique with how the controller is going to be used for it.
Now, something I want to point out with what you said about, like, similar games. Matt over at IGN is convinced that, in terms of ports, the whole development costing is smoke and mirrors, and he's not convinced that's actually legitimate, which I disagree with. But, and he's saying that because people are going to port, I mean, they're going to already exhaust the development costs for, oh, I don't know, pick Game X that's going to come out on all three platforms. And they would, you know, they already sunk those costs in developing the 360 version and porting it over to the PS3. So there's no reason that it's going to be any cheaper for the Revolution version. And they would charge just as much money on the store shelf.
They're gonna charge just as much money.
Right, but I mean,
it takes less work.
Yeah, but in terms of the work involved, like, I don't know too much about this. I'm not a developer, but the reason why I don't agree with him, and I'm hoping that you can shed some light on this, is, I mean, even though you still have to do you have to take effort. Can't you? Isn't there going to be less effort involved in first of all just getting the code to run on that development kit, and second of all, like, you're using less intensive, I guess all you'd have to do is scale down, for example, the texture resolution size, just an example of the many things that you can scale down, and you wouldn't have as much trouble optimizing it on the lower hardware, because you're using lower quality source material to begin with. Or am I just totally talking out of my ass, which I am?
Oh, no, you're definitely speaking the truth. I mean, I can just, I'm gonna say Game X as well. I worked on Game X, and Game X was originally developed for Xbox.
Okay.
We worked on it for Xbox until it was pretty much complete. Then, Cube Port just suddenly came out of nowhere. Now, The thing is, the cube port may have been worked on close to the end of the cycle because we made some changes to Game X that were actually structural changes, kind of like to the storyline, and things that you would have to actually kind of reproduce on the cube version after it became ported. And the changes were instant. It's like when they were producing revisions, it was very, very quick to bring out the ports. And that's the thing. When you finish your code base and you're done programming the game, the only thing that's really going to be different is how you get the pictures onto the screen and how the buttons on the controller interact with the actual game itself.
Uh-huh.
And basically, the thing is going to even out. You're going to spend all your time working on your primary console release. So, for example, if a company is going to be making a game, they want it to come out on PS3 looking a certain way, they're just going to make it specifically for PS3, and then when it comes out for Xbox 360, or when the revision is ready, they're going to just make sure that it runs on Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
And if there are any special coding things, if they have time to do it, they will do it. But I honestly think that when it comes to ports, there's a primary consideration, the one that they want to make the most money on, and or the one that's going to have the most power in it, which was why I said that they worked on Game X on Xbox first out of the three. Because it was the one that was like the highest denominator, you could say.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of scale like down, strip some things out, scale it down for PS2 because the graphic quality is going to be a little bit less. And then you can kind of streamline it for GameCube.
Because of the disc size, yeah.
Because of the disc size and because the graphics on the Cube can be similar to the graphics on the Xbox, just have to tone down the textures a little bit. So I'm thinking, you know, you make something for 360 first, and then it may be ported over to PS3, or you may do it the other way around, and then it'll go out to Wii, and the only thing that's going to be different between Wii and the other two is going to be the way you control the game itself.
Right, right. Okay, well, that's what I thought, you know, because it just it makes sense to me. Shows how much I know about development, though, so I don't know. Anyway, we're going to skip our next topic, discussion on it, because it's running kind of long, but just want to mention in passing for anyone who's looking forward to it, Call of Duty 3 has been confirmed for the Revolution. I'm getting this news from RevolutionReport.com, soon to be known as TheWire2Eyes.com. Again, thanks to Sean White for this news, but yeah, those looking to play first-person shooters don't have to just rely on Red Steel. Call of Duty 3 is going to come from Activision. They do have a trailer linked, but it's for the PS3 version, as Nintendo does not want any footage to get out before E3, so just putting it out there. To actually discuss one of the topics that we actually were able to break, we don't get many breaking stories, but we got this one when we were at the Nintendo World Store. Reggie let out this small secret after someone asked him about how are you going to handle power sliding with the remote controller. He kind of gave in and said, okay, so I'm going to tell you this one little secret, and hopefully I don't get fired. At E3, we will be showing a racing game that should... What was his words? What were his words? That we're going to show a racing game at E3 where you use a core controller in a very different way that will answer all the questions as to how you'll play a racing game. What do you think that is?
Ah, shoot. I'm not going to say Mario Kart.
Okay.
I'm not going to say F-Zero. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to wait for the ninth. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to find out for myself because I'm pretty excited about it. Right. I'm pretty excited about how the Wii is going to just control anything because of how it is and what it is and how it works. It's just, I don't know. I'm a little intrigued.
Right. I'm thinking, the first thing when I was actually at the store, I'm not sure if you were there or you had left yet, but the first thing I said, I was like, F-Zero. Like, out of nowhere. I don't know why I said that, but that's what I said. And then, after listening to it again, and after watching the video of it on Google Videos, thinking about how the fact that the answer to a question, but the secret was prompted by a kid asking, how will we power slide in Mario Kart? You know, that could mean that it's Mario Kart, or maybe he's just throwing us off. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, personally, and I have this in the article, I'm kind of thinking about Top Gear. Because I remember that Kemco, and I could be remembering this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that Kemco was interested in working with them on a sim-like, not necessarily a simulation like Gran Turismo, but sim-like, like Project Gotham, game that was kind of either an original property or something that no one has really paid attention to for quite a while. And I remember Top Gear 2 on the SNES was pretty high-quality stuff, so I'm kind of hoping for that. Call me stupid.
Possible.
Yeah. Other people say Wave Race, which is definitely a legitimate guess. So I guess I can be like you and wait, but
4 more days.
But I like guessing. Well, I'll be at work, so and I'll miss the entire conference, but whatever. I'll cry for me later. next news, which is a horrible segue because this is totally off topic, but DS Lite's come to America on June 11th for $130. They come to Australia at $199 Australian on June 1st. But regardless of the fact that thankfully for Australia, for once they're getting a leg up, and for all you Aussies out there, this is good news for you, and I'm happy for you guys. We finally got a date, and it's the same price.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interested in the price. It'd be nice if they had some colors that I'd be interested, like in red.
Huh, yeah, or navy blue, that's what I'm thinking of. But I've heard from many sources, such as Penny Arcade, that holding one is like the holding the power of two suns in your hand. I'm pretty psyched for that. I was very close to importing it, but now that they say 130, I think I can wait.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, that'll do it for the news. This is something I really need to kind of get off my chest as we start to talk about our thoughts, as we start to close with our thoughts on just certain topics. But you guys have heard me struggle during the entire cast about the Revolution's name. It's been a week since Nintendo announced that they're naming the thing the Nintendo Wii, the Wii, W-I-I. Nice little Flash movie on their website kind of explaining what it means and how it's supposed to be viewed. Okay, let me read the description of it so that we have no mix-ups of exactly what it means, okay? And this is for the people who haven't really seen this yet. Introducing Wii, W-I-I, as in Wii, and in quotes it's spelled W-E. While the codename Revolution expressed our direction, Wii represents the answer. Wii will break down that wall that separates video game players from everybody else. Wii will put people more in touch with their games and each other. But you're probably asking, what does the name mean? You're damn right I'm asking. Wii sounds like Wii, W-E, which emphasizes the console is for everyone. Wii can easily be remembered by people around the world, no matter what language they speak, no confusion, no need to abbreviate, just Wii. Wii has a distinctive double-I spelling that symbolizes both the unique controllers and the image of people playing it. And Wii, as a name and console, brings something revolutionary to the world of video games that sets it apart from the crowd. So that's Wii. But now Nintendo needs you, because it's not really about you or me, it's about Wii. And together, Wii will change everything. Dear Christ, please speak first, because I'm about to go off on an extremely loud rant. Please speak first. Oh, God.
I really don't have anything to say about it, to tell you the truth. I'm still intrigued by the whole thing. And in terms of the name itself, I really feel like the more I say it, the more I say Nintendo Wii, it just kind of fits. It's like, you know, Nintendo GameCube. When it came out, I was like, oh, GameCube is fine, I guess. I've never really been, like, floored by any particular name of a video game console.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Nintendo Entertainment System didn't even really have a name. It was just the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Right.
And then, you know, you got the Sega Master System, and then there's the Sega Genesis, and, you know, trying to be cool and whatnot. Genesis and Game Gear and the CD and the 32X, blah, blah, blah. Saturn, Dreamcast, PlayStation, Power Station, whatever you want to call it. Turbo Duo, Turbo Graphics 16, which wasn't even really 16-bit, but I'm not going to go there. And, I don't know, I just feel that we will begin to use the name Wii more and more householdy after E3, after we get used to it,
yeah.
Once it comes to the stores, once it gets into the print ads, people start getting used to it, we'll just start saying Wii. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that when GameCube was announced, people were probably still calling it Dolphin for a couple of days.
Yeah. I'm really struggling. Like, okay, let's get this out of the way here. The name, okay, for anyone who's rolling their eyes or whatever, the name does not matter. The name really does not matter. And anyone who thinks otherwise, I would like to slap you, because people are buying the Xbox 360, which is a retarded name. I'm sorry, Peter Moore, you're a great marketer, but this is a retarded name. I called it Turgulent in one of my blogs. The name PlayStation is so bland and utilitarian. GameCube, I think, was horrible. Dreamcast was horrible. We still bought it. It's not going to matter. But with that off my chest, it doesn't mean that I still can't dislike it. Okay?
That's true.
It bothers me because, and this is echoing what many editors around the gaming media have been saying, is that they built so much brand equity with Nintendo Revolution that, you know, maybe their mistake was waiting too long, but everyone knows that as a revolution. I still know it as a revolution. It was only Dolphin for a little while before they announced GameCube, and again, it may just be timing. The other thing is that Revolution embodies what the console gives us. Wii embodies what the console's philosophy behind our whole community is, and for a consumer device, I just don't buy that reasoning. I just don't think it's practical for something like a consumer device. For a service, yes. For a movie studio, yes. For a device, no. You know, if they called the online service the Wii, okay, fine. But as a consumer device, no, I just can't see it. And I wrote this on my blog on GameSpot, all right, and I'm going to try not to read it, but I feel it emphasizes exactly what I'm trying to say here. Like, it sounds like one of the things that people might go like, oh, it's such a stroke of genius, or it's absolutely terrible, I can't tell. I think it's terrible. I mean, I can understand the reasoning behind it, but the final deliverable just does not fly. I mean, it's like the means don't justify the ends. Okay, so the logo looks cool, it's cute, it's simple, it's concise, and it's catchy with the little eye people. I do like the logo. But
eye's cool. Right?
But, like, I mean, I also like that I don't have to abbreviate it. But, you know, for me, and not even embarrassment, just in terms of, you know, clarity of speech, going up to the counter and saying, I'd like to purchase a Nintendo Wii and Wii games, please. It just doesn't sit with me. Like, it doesn't sound right, because it's a plurality, as Matt said on IGN. It's not even a real noun. It's not. It's an existing word that they first misspelled, you know, to be unique. And second, you know, it's so common in our language to use in a certain context that now that you're using it to represent a thing, a tangible thing, it just causes confusion. You know, is he saying we as in you and me? Or is he saying we as in the product? Like, what does it mean? At least GameCube, at least Dreamcast, at least PlayStation is a thing that you can embrace and touch and feel. You know, you take a one-syllable word that's so common in English, you know, and then because they have to provide an explanation, they have to provide this whole, I'm a snooty marketing and art student who just stepped out of the Apple store, and I'm currently fixing my cricket chapeau, like my little beret, as I'm sipping my chai tea, and I'm gonna come up with this little fun little name for the console. You know, and no offense to art students out there or marketing, I'm a marketing graduate myself, but it's too much. It doesn't sit well. It doesn't make sense in terms of I'm building a product, and I'm going to name it something that means something to what it delivers. Instead, it's just saying, okay, let's take iPod, okay? iPod is kind of a stupid name, right? Google's kind of a stupid name, right? Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But I'm used to them.
Right. We're used to them, right. But let's go to iPod, okay? iPod is kind of a little, and any marketing buffs out there, you know, obviously you're more experienced than me. I don't even work in marketing. I just graduated with it. So, you know, you can hit me if I'm wrong. But I feel like it's stupid, but it's kind of a balance between the whole Wii philosophy and the whole PlayStation philosophy. That being, the whole community thing is a whole personal thing, you know, a whole philosophy, okay? And the I in iPod and in iLife and in iBook and everything they do with I is kind of self-indulgent. It's mine. It's for me. It's a product for me. That's the I. The pod, okay, it's a little box that holds music. Yeah, it's a little pod. Okay, That's utilitarian. That's PlayStation. PlayStation, something that you play games on. It's a station that you play games on, you play music on, you play movies on. Okay, I can buy that. It's utilitarian. So Apple, in a stroke of marketing genius, even though the name is kind of shit, you know, in my opinion, you know, it works because it's a mixture of this self-indulgent philosophy and utilitarianism that says, this is a device, but it's also for you. We're smoking something. This is some kind of concept for everyone. It's like the dude who made Katamari, who surprisingly doesn't like the controller. The dude who made Katamari kind of like, oh, I want to make the world a better place with happy games. I don't want to make games that are, you know, that make people depressed. I want to make people happy. And this is kind of what this Wii thing is like. It's happy, happy. And there's no sense of this is a device that I feel good about holding. It's just Wii. Revolution is perfect because, and it's corny, yes, but it's perfect because it's both, you know, a philosophy, and you can also think of Revolution as something that, you know, you can experience and it's there. It's not okay, so I'm kind of wrong in saying that it's tangible, but it's more tangible as a noun than wee. And there you go. There's jokes. There's the wee jokes and all that stuff. That's just my reasoning behind it. Now, I understand that Nintendo is trying to separate themselves from the other consoles. They're trying not to be in this console war. And they've succeeded. You know, this is totally true. This is very different. But just being different doesn't mean that you have to pick a crappy name. You know, Mr. Fizume, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I'm just being honest here. I don't like the name. I'll still buy one. I will call it the Revolution. And I will love it. But I will not call it the Wii for a good long time until everyone starts saying it and I can't avoid it. But, I mean, and as a last thing to top off this rant before we move on to our next thoughts on Sony and Microsoft is the name's horrible, but anyone who's willing to forego the purchase of something that they wanted just because the name changed should not be playing video games and should just leave us alone because that's an idiotic thing to do. Oh, they changed the name, I don't like it, I'm not going to buy it. Ridiculous. Almost, right. Almost as ridiculous as the name itself. And with that,
I mean, imagine. Yeah.
And with that, my friends, people... I'm going to get off this little soapbox and stop complaining about this because it's done. It's well and done. We'll see what happens in E3, and talk about Sony's launch. There are rumors out there, and I don't believe them, but they're pretty funny. That Sony's hardware is so powerful, true, that the cooling needed for it and the massive power that is harnessed within this godly machine. Or so they'd like us to think about this fourth dimension, as Kutaragi put it, is too big to fit inside the box. That's the rumor. I don't believe it, but if it's true, like I kind of feel bad for them. Like, what's going on? They said spring 2006. Well, it's spring now, and I want my PS3. Where is it? So, I mean, I think we discussed this on the phone, but just to kind of reprise this for the cast, what do you think is going to happen?
Well. I think they'll get their act together.
Yeah.
But in 4 days, I would love to see what it looks like. I wish I was there.
Right.
I'm definitely going to be stopping by Sony's portion of whatever site I happen to look at that's at E3.
Uh-huh.
Just to see if it fits in the box. You know? I mean, we already know the Wii fits in the box.
Because it's so Wii.
360 is already out. I mean, you got people who put, like, GB micros in front of the Wii and comparing sizes and whatnot. But, I mean, the prototype image of the PS3 was, like, a freaking VCR or a spaceship. You know? And, I mean, whether it's ready for liftoff or...
Sorry.
Exactly. I mean, if it was ready for liftoff or, you know, ready for takeoff, one of those things... Or if it was ready to accept your VHS. I mean, if that's still not big enough, what's going to happen? You know, this thing is developed by a Japanese company, so it really needs to adhere to Japanese standards before it adheres to any kind of American standards, I would think. So it'd have to be something that at least is going to fit in a Japanese house.
In a rice house. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That was mean. But I on that just before I go on, before I give my thoughts on that on the whole Japanese thing, on making sure it fits Japanese houses before it comes to America, I actually think that what Sony has done with the PS2 is got a good balance of considering that America, North America, has become so important in their market that sometimes what they do, there's this term, you know, global message, local thinking. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's something like, you know, you have a company with a global vision. You know, the company itself does
right.
has their motive of their MO, right? But they have to cater it. They have to tailor it a little bit to fit the locality. So what Sony has been able to do is in America they put out great shit that everyone wants, and in Japan they put out great shit that everyone wants, catering to that market. And that's what I felt that Nintendo had a problem with, and Microsoft has a problem with. Microsoft is great for America, kind of crap for Japan. Nintendo has been great for Japan, but like, they haven't necessarily considered what Americans need, at least in the past. And there was this whole great article, this great editorial on PlanetGameCube.com that was talking about how Nintendo of America has very little say in what happens, and I'm hoping that it looks like that's changing, but with the launch of the DS
they
in
say
America,
it's expanding,
right? But up until then, you know, a lot of the control was in Nintendo of Japan. And my argument was that if you want to succeed in the industry, which has become worldwide, you have to consider that at some point, sometimes the Americas or Europe or Australia, you know, sometimes may be more important than your homeland. And Microsoft is just, even though they're failing right now, I got to give it to them. They've been trying as hard as they can to get Japanese product out there. They're trying to get these RPGs.
Sure.
And so, you know, what Sony, you know, in terms of the big box, I think if they can... You know, if they've got a big box and they can market it to the States, they'll be okay. You know, maybe Japan will be a little bit, but you know, at some point it'll things will fly. Now, anyway, back to the actual topic about their launch troubles. Right, spring 2006. Where's my PS3? Then there was a rumor that was coming out since September, but since that's only a rumor, it's a rumor. Now, I think the official, the quasi official announcement at GDC was November. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this correctly. But
not quite.
But they said, I think they said November, and they said something to the amount of they'll produce a million every month for a worldwide launch. Now, I see another 360 situation here, which in terms of worldwide, a million sounds good for one territory, for America, which includes Canada, Europe, Australia, Asia, a million a month isn't going to be so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, will they have it ready, even? Will the stuff fit inside the box? And I remember you saying something very interesting on the phone. If they could have it for an August 2007 launch with Madden, because everyone loves Madden, that they might actually sell through that. And I think my response was that they should probably go for a March one, because there's a lull in gaming. January, February, after the Christmas season, right?
Right.
With the exception of things like Resident Evil 4, which came out in January. But there's a lull there, and people really don't have that much to look forward to, so they can kind of save their cash and say, oh, PS3, March, save it for that. No games coming out anyways, doesn't matter. I think the same thing happened with the PSP. Like, they had a pretty decent launch. No, that had a pretty good launch in terms of sales. You know, it was like, nothing else is really out, so let's get a PSP. So I mean, I think that if they had to delay it, it wouldn't be so catastrophic. But at the same time, you know, there's a whole argument that, well, now Microsoft has a 2-holiday season lead on this whole shebang. And I don't know how bad that's going to damage them. How bad do you think that's going to damage them, if at all?
Well, if Xbox 360 is going to have some quote-unquote Generation 2 titles, and say they blow PS3 launch titles out of the water.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of power for the 360, especially with people, you know, still clamoring to get their hands on one.
What about this little title called Metal Gear Solid 4?
Well,
you think they'll have it ready? If they came out with a launch in 2007?
If they came out with a launch in 2007, I'm sure they'd have something ready. All I see that's going to be playable at E3 is this game called Warhawk.
Yeah.
And
I saw a trailer for that.
It already doesn't sound very interesting.
Not interested at all.
But according to GDC, PS3 is supposed to be due early November, so we could probably nix a 2007 release.
Let's hope so, because Yeah, that Metal Gear. I've never been a fan of the Metal Gear Solid games, but that looks that. In terms of me being a technology whore, that looks sweet. So now we bring it to Microsoft. Microsoft has their 360 out there. It's done. They've already made their hardware shebang last year. It's launched. People have it. What are they going to bring to E3 this year to get people remembering their name?
Are you really asking me the question?
What are your thoughts on it?
Man. To tell you the honest to God truth, I've been so disinterested in Xbox 360 because there's really nothing at all appealing to me. I'm sure there's something appealing to everybody who has one. But, I mean, just from my totally objective opinion, is really probably doesn't mean shit. But I think that Microsoft needs to bring games to E3.
Ouch.
I mean, things that are going to appeal to the audience like me, who's that,
right?
That gamer who's looking for something new. I'm not looking for the same old Call of Duty and that same old.
You said duty. Sorry. Go ahead.
Madden. same old Madden and Dead or Alive and whatnot.
Right.
And I know Rockstar's coming out with Table Tennis. Woo. And that's probably gonna be at E3. Although I think it's coming out soon. It'd be nice if something, you know, kind of must have. Like, maybe if Tecmo was working secretly on some Ninja Gaiden for 360.
Delicious.
Or, you know, I mean, I'm still going on the iterations, though. We need something, like, new. Something that's going to just blow people away that they never thought was going to blow them away. Kind of like the Wii in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody thought that the Wii was going to have, like, a pointer device type of remote that has gyroscopic stuff in it and whatnot. I mean, they guessed on the gyroscopic stuff.
It's actually motion sensor, but they weren't far off.
Oh, it's not gyroscopic.
Yeah, but it's just the same sensor effect on the screen, so.
Nah. And I just think that Microsoft probably needs to bring some stronger titles, something that's going to be worthwhile of notice at E3. That'd be very interesting. I'll take a look and see what they have to offer.
Right.
And maybe, you know, it might sway my decisions, my opinions on the 360. And right now, I just think the 360 is extremely weak.
Rockstar presents Table Tennis!
Yeah, I mean, and Table Tennis is just that. I'm just looking at stuff. I'm saying, you know, stuff that I can get on PC and stuff that I don't care about, like Rumble Roses and
ping pong,
certain sports and whatnot. I don't know. I'm just gonna end it here. I'm probably pissing people off.
Ah, it's all right. Let them be pissed. I'm sure I pissed off a lot of Nintendo fans with the Wii thing, but I think they're in trouble if they don't come hard and come strong. But only because of the circumstance that they've already come in big with their 360 and they successfully launched it. You know, they've got the thing out the door, so I can't really blame them. You know, at the same time, I agree with you, they need games. There's nothing that I'm really necessarily all that interested in, but there are some glimmers of hope. I heard, well, okay, this is not something I'm interested in, because no offense everyone, I hated the first two, but I heard rumblings that they're going to show a Halo 3 trailer, so for anyone who wants that, hopefully that's true. But I think I was looking at Gears of War from the Unreal team at Epic, and that looked great in terms of not just in terms of graphics, but in terms of gameplay. And you're right, it's iterative, it's the same type of shoot 'em up game, but I still like those. I still like playing them, and you know, as long as it's high quality, I'm going to be looking forward to it. And I heard there's no PC release, sadly, so maybe I'll have to get a 360 to get on that one. And I really like the work that Cliffy B over at Epic has done. With the rest of the team at Epic with all the Unreal games that they've done, Unreal Tournament 2003 and 4, the original Unreal Tournament, Unreal and Unreal 2, even though people didn't really like Unreal 2. I'm like a fan of all their stuff, and I'm looking forward to what they're going to bring. And as I said before, way earlier, like an hour ago, about Dennis Dyack and Too Human, Again, my Onto the Horizon. I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, you and I were both huge fans of Eternal Darkness. The man can tell a story, and he can also weave some gameplay around it that's very compelling. And I'm looking forward to it. There was an EGM feature on it, discussing the, you know, the combo system and all that stuff. I'm not going to go too much into this because we're running out of time. But you know, just reading it made me more and more excited about it. Even though it's going to be another heavy storytelling hack and slash, whatever, whatever. Sounds boring, but you know, I still have room in my stomach for traditional type things. Well, traditional in this generation sense, not old school sense, but traditional type things that, you know, that just do things with high quality. And if they can show those two and really move crowds with that, you know, they won't be in such a bad position. But what else are they going to have? I don't know. Viva Pinata? I guess it's for the kids, I guess. I'm not really too interested in it. Like I was making fun of before, table tennis, you know, cool. It looks great, certainly, but eh.
Looks like there's going to be some Sonic going on.
Sonic, yeah. But really, you know, I think to summarize it, I think E3 is going to be all about the revolution. And actually, that's a little sad to me because I like seeing big guns coming out of all three camps. Last year, 360 came out strong. Sony came out strong. Nintendo was like, yeah, we have a revolution. This is the box. You're going to be able to download stuff. So what's going on? Okay, show over. So 2 out of 3, not bad. And this year, if it's just the revolution, eh. But I think if Sony can come out and actually show the hardware this time with like, not just demos, but actual gameplay on the floor. Shane Bettenhausen over at 1UP/EGM is all convinced that everything's going to be playable for Sony. I don't know about that, but he's been in the business longer than I, so what do I know? But I don't know. I think it's going to be all about the revolution, unless Sony shows things. I think Microsoft is, you know, I think Microsoft kind of is going to show a weak showing, but don't necessarily need to show that strong if they can sustain the market, the shelves, with some good titles, which they haven't really been doing, according to one store owner I was talking to. But who knows? I mean, it's out. The console's out there. Stock is coming back. And so I'm not too worried for them. Besides, if they ever fail, they'll just kick more money at it, release Windows Vista, and keep on trucking. So no one has to worry about Microsoft.
Not at all.
And with that, it is 4:12 a.m., folks. I think this has gone on for 1 hour and 20 minutes. If you made it to the end, you get a cookie of some sorts, and this is not guaranteed, so don't hold me to it. You'll get no intro and outro music this time. This is just a pilot episode. I'm ass tired. Al is ass tired, and we want to get this uploaded, so thank you for listening.
I'm a tired ass.
Thank you for listening, and tune in again either next week or in 2 weeks whenever we have the strength to do this again. Have a good night.
Yeah.